So I want to welcome everybody here. It's really great to see you all. And as Lauren has said, our subject for this month is boundaries. And I always kind of enjoy doing these introductory talks because, well, for one thing, the subject is kind of new and fresh, but especially it gives me the chance to share all the pieces of wisdom from our whole teaching group that we come up with when we talk about the topic and how we're going to present it over the month. So it's kind of nice to get to share the wisdom from all of my fellow teachers in a talk like this. And it's especially easy for these introductions. So I'd like to begin with a poem that gives kind of a sense of boundaries and at the same time the transparency of all boundaries. And it's called We Are of a Tribe by Albert Rios. We plant seeds in the ground and dreams in the sky, hoping that someday the roots of one will meet the upstretched limbs of the other. It has not happened yet. We share the sky, all of us, the whole world. Together we are a tribe of eyes that look upward, even as we stand on uncertain ground. The earth beneath us moves, quiet and wild, its boundaries shifting, its muscles wavering. The dream of sky is indifferent to all this, impervious to borders, fences, reservations. The sky is our common home, the place we all live. There we are in the world together. The dream of the sky requires no passport. Blue will not be fenced. Blue will not be a crime. Look up. Stay a while. Let your breathing slow. Know that you always have a home here. So as this poem suggests, this topic of boundaries is a kind of a complicated topic. You know, just as the poem speaks to that dream of the sky that's wide and open and impervious to all boundaries, Buddhism teaches us about the connectivity of all things. So it may seem like the direction of our practice should be towards opening and eliminating all boundaries. And I think in some ways this is really true. This is the direction we're heading. And there's no doubt that there are many times when we establish artificial boundaries that aren't really necessary. And when it comes to the boundaries of the heart, well, in that case, there's always room for expansion, endlessly. But as the poem also points out, complete openness and elimination of boundaries isn't necessarily our everyday reality. As the poet says, we plant seeds in the ground and dreams in the sky, hoping that someday the roots of one will meet the upstretched limbs of the other. It has not happened yet. No, it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, the reality is that in our everyday lives, we need to be able to establish healthy boundaries. Boundaries that can keep us from being overwhelmed by the demands of others and keep ourselves from being harmed by others that might be physically abusive, emotionally, sexually abusive. And when we think about boundaries, these are often the kind of boundaries that first come to mind, these boundaries to protect ourselves. And the boundaries that might not so much be about caring for the other person, because we can care for them, we can hold kindly feelings toward them. At the same time, we might have to have boundaries on our interactions with them just for our own safety. But it's important to remember that we don't only need boundaries when it comes to protecting ourselves, we need boundaries when it comes to our own behavior too. because we can be the ones that are creating the problems. And so we need boundaries that keep us from harming other people or harming ourselves by our actions. And then it's also finally important to remember that boundaries aren't only about our relationships with other people. They can also involve our relationships with activities and things, and we may need boundaries in those kinds of relationships too. So over this month, we're going to be talking about all these aspects of boundaries. Boundaries to protect ourselves from being harmed by others, to protect others from being harmed by us. Boundaries to keep ourselves from causing harm to ourselves and others, not just through our relationships with people, but with activities and things. And also, and I think it's just as important, maybe even more important, considering when these boundaries are really needed and when they aren't. But actually establishing healthy boundaries isn't always such an easy thing. And, you know, for some people, even the word healthy might seem a little ambiguous or a little bit uncomfortable. So we might want to try other words. Maybe think of these boundaries as boundaries that are beneficial to others and to ourselves, or boundaries that minimize harm. So you can kind of think of the description that works best for you in terms of defining these or naming these. But whatever we call them, sometimes we aren't really sure what these boundaries are, and we can't recognize unhealthy boundaries or unnecessary boundaries when we see them. And I think all of us have our confusion in this area and our blind spots in this area, because, I mean, what family doesn't have some behavior patterns or ways they interact that are kind of weird, maybe not that helpful, maybe rules and prohibitions that aren't really necessary? And a lot of times we carry these along with us in our lives, even when we're adults, and we perpetuate them without even realizing it. And these kind of rules and boundaries can be everything from, you know, the boundaries we have about which foods are acceptable on our Thanksgiving table. Although I gotta say, you know, if you're the ones that are introducing these new and unusual foods to the Thanksgiving table, the hue and cry that you may find from having these, bringing these things out, might feel anything but trivial. I mean, that's kind of been like that in our family. So now I stick to the tried and true. But they can also be patterns that aren't just kind of, you know, not so really harmful or important, or maybe just preferences, to ones that really can have a big impact on the way we interact with others and with our world. You know, depending on the kind of background we come from, we might not feel the need to set very many boundaries on our behaviors or on our speech, even when it creates problems. Or we might be kind of on the opposite end and be so trained to avoid conflict and be polite that subjects that really need to be talked about never come up. Or we might be unsure about even having the right to set boundaries and say no when people make demands on us. And as I mentioned before, you know, some of the boundaries we establish are really important and helpful, but in other cases, maybe we're putting up boundaries where they aren't really needed. And if we come from a background of abuse or are victims of trauma, things can be even more challenging, very challenging, and we might need to be really sensitive to what we can open up to and should open up to without feeling too overwhelmed or re-triggering really, really difficult experiences. So this question of boundaries isn't such a simple thing, and what feels okay for one person may not be okay for another person. So we really need to think carefully. So what about boundaries in our Dharma practice? What kind of tools from our Dharma practice can we use to help us establish boundaries that are beneficial where we need boundaries and maybe help us to open and loosen some of the boundaries that aren't so necessary? Well, I'm going to share some thoughts that we'll be discussing more fully over the weeks ahead. And to begin with, Tuari shared some of her ideas about this and had a couple of suggestions that I thought were really helpful and you may find real. And one of the first of these is to be mindful of feeling tone, that kind of gut feeling we have whenever we encounter any kind of object, person, experience of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So just really being aware of that sort of automatic reaction we have. And with the pleasant things, we tend to move towards them and not really think about setting boundaries. Well, with the unpleasant things, there we may instinctively want to put up boundaries. And with the neutral, well, those are the things where a lot of times we just maybe ignore them. And so the feeling is, well, I don't really need to pay attention to this. And so it doesn't feel like a boundary, but in a way it may actually be a boundary because we may be saying about this thing, well, this is something that I'm just not going to let into my consciousness, into my experience fully. So if we aren't aware of these tendencies, then we'll just act out of habit. We won't even consider whether what we're doing is beneficial or not beneficial or useful or not useful. We'll just kind of go with what we've always done. And so paying attention to these feeling tones is a really good place to start to getting a sense about boundaries. And in addition to being mindful of the feeling tone, Tuari also suggested that we need to be mindful of the times when we want what is not offered and when we don't want what is offered. So getting your head around that, I'll talk about. And if we can understand that, we might have a better sense of healthy boundaries and maybe where we can kind of go off the rails with our boundaries. So first, let's think about the situation where we want what is not offered. So when we're in this position and we want something that either isn't there or someone is not willing to give, we often have a tendency to try to go past what might be considered healthy boundaries and demand things from other people that maybe they just can't give us. Maybe it's just not in them to give us or that they're unwilling to give us. And so we're kind of transgressing on their boundaries in that sense. Or if the wanting is for some kind of activity or thing, our tendency might be to just go out and try to get it regardless of the effect on others or on ourselves. You know, we're not even really thinking about that. We're just thinking about how we want this thing and, you know, what can we do to get it and get as much of it as we can. So that's not going to be such a wise way of acting. But there also might be situations when what we want is actually a healthy and reasonable desire or aspiration, but it's simply not available in the place where we're seeking it. You know, maybe the kind of situation where you're wanting a very warm and affectionate relationship with a person that is just naturally very reserved and cares for you, but maybe just can't show it the way that you would like them to show it. Or maybe, you know, wanting somebody to do some activity with you that you love, but they just don't love, you know, those sorts of things. And in those kind of situations, maybe the best attitude is just simply to accept, you know, the thing that I want is a fine thing to want, but maybe I need to look for another way to fulfill this need that I find in me. You know, maybe there's another person that really loves this thing that I love, I can do stuff with, while still enjoying and appreciating the qualities of this first person who can't give me that thing. You know, so recognizing these desires that are healthy desires and look for ways in which we can fulfill them, even if the immediate place that we are doesn't have that potential. Then there's the situation where we don't want what is offered. And, you know, in some cases, this is a really wise choice. If what is offered is likely to be harmful to us or makes us really uncomfortable or we don't feel is going to be beneficial or help us in any way, you know, we definitely have the right to refuse it. And I'm reminded of the story that Tweri told us a few weeks ago about the Buddha himself, when this one individual would always turn up when the Buddha was giving talks and Dharma teachings and offer him criticism and abuse. And the Buddha finally said to this person, "Well, thank you, but I don't choose to accept your gift." And, you know, we can say the same. We all have the perfect right to say no thank you to verbal abuse or physical abuse, sexual harassment, intrusive demands, or any of these things that really are not going to be beneficial to us. So it's fine to say no and to choose not to accept what is offered if it doesn't seem like it's something that's going to serve us. But on the other hand, you know, there are plenty of times when what's being offered is actually something that could be pretty good, you know, beneficial, fun, nice. But we might not want to accept it because it doesn't quite fit with our idea of what we wanted. We wanted something different. Maybe we wanted something that we felt would be better. It just wasn't quite what we were looking for. Or maybe what's being offered is some sort of a truth that we really need to hear, but would rather not hear. And so for that reason, we choose not to want to accept it. Or what's being offered might be a really good opportunity for learning or for growth, but kind of uncomfortable or a little scary or threatening. And so in these kinds of cases, we really need a little reflection and mindfulness, you know, maybe asking ourselves, you know, why am I rejecting this thing? Is it because it's unfamiliar? Am I afraid? Maybe it doesn't fit in with my idea I have about who I am and what I can do. Is it different from the way I usually do things? Or is it because I really feel that this isn't right for me? Maybe it isn't the right time. I don't have time. There's other things occupying my mind and time. I'm not interested. It's overwhelming. You know, maybe there's some legitimate reasons why I don't really feel like it's the right thing to do. So there isn't any one answer or any right answer. It's more an invitation to reflect, investigate, and just see, you know, is this a place where maybe it would be a good idea to stretch your boundaries a little? Or maybe not. And just because you refuse now, it doesn't mean you'll refuse forever. You know, you may decide to accept this potentially beneficial thing that's being offered later at a more suitable time. So this is an area where we really need to, you know, be honest with ourselves and think about why we're really choosing to do or not to do. And another thing that's important to keep in mind when we're considering boundaries or refusing or accepting is whether the action is going to cause harm. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, it's important as kind of a bottom line. If I do this, will it cause harm to somebody else? If I allow this, is it likely to harm me? And because, you know, really that's the whole reason for establishing these healthier, beneficial boundaries to prevent harm. But at the same time, it's always important to remember that, you know, just because something is a little uncomfortable or a little scary or a little challenging or a little unusual to us, it doesn't mean it's harmful. Sometimes stuff like that is more than we can handle, and that's okay. You know, we can recognize that. But other times, this thing that's a little bit different and challenging is just exactly what we need. So we really need to consider if something is too upsetting and too overwhelming at a particular time, it's fine to back off. But if it's challenging, but we can still, you know, be with it, we feel like it's safe enough, then we may want to go forward. So these are some, you know, kinds of thoughts about thinking about, you know, our initial reactions and what we want and don't want. And I'd also like to mention two other practices that might be especially helpful in providing guidance about healthy boundaries. And we're going to go into these two topics in more detail over the next couple of weeks. So this is just a kind of a quick summary to introduce them and let you begin thinking about them. And the first of these practices is practicing the precepts. And I think the precepts give us a really wonderful framework for setting healthy boundaries on our own conduct. You know, refraining from killing other beings, from lying, from taking what isn't offered, from sexual misconduct, from misusing drugs and alcohol. Those are all really good boundaries that keep us from harming other people and from harming ourselves too with our actions. And the precepts can also be a good guide to identifying things that other people may be doing in relation to us where we may need to set boundaries in terms of our interaction with them. You know, like if people are likely to physically harm us or steal things from us or lie to us or, you know, sexually harass or abuse us, all these kinds of things, yes, set boundaries on our interactions with them. It doesn't mean that we have to set boundaries on our ability to wish them well or think of them kindly, but being around them too much may not be safe. So it works both ways. And then it can also be helpful, too, to think about boundaries in connection with the practice of renunciation. And of course, when we observe the precepts, we're renouncing certain activities, but we can also look at activities that we wouldn't necessarily consider as harmful, but, you know, they just sort of can get out of balance. The kind of situations where, you know, maybe it would be good for us to spend a little less time watching the news and maybe a little more time walking in nature or maybe eat a few more vegetables and not quite as many cookies or, you know, those kinds of, you know, simple things like that. And we might also want to look at areas where we might be very rigid about some of our boundaries, our prohibitions, where our ideas of renunciation are more about living up to some kind of idea of perfection that we have and proving that we can let go of so many things rather than thinking about what's really healthy and beneficial. So that's another area to explore in terms of boundaries. And then the second practice that can be really helpful for this subject of boundaries is the practice of the Brahma Viharas. And it's a really great framework, I think, a really great model for establishing boundaries and letting go of boundaries in the Buddhist framework. And I think, as you all know, the intention is in the Brahma Vihara practices is to develop kindness and compassion that extends to all beings with no distinction and no boundaries. And so practicing metta and the other Brahma Viharas really helps us to open our boundaries in this sense, in terms of offering kindness no matter what that other person is like. But at the same time, these practices also teach us about places where things can get out of balance and where we might be tempted to what we might call interact with people in ways that are not so healthy in terms of healthy boundaries. For example, with people that are close to us, you know, the people we would categorize maybe as dear friends in the metta practice, it's really easy to get caught up in our attachment to them. And when we're really attached, we can start to maybe demand things from them that meet our own needs that they can't give us or shouldn't be expected to give us. Or we may be so caught up with trying to do what we think is good for them that we don't really pay attention to what they think is good for them. And so this is one of these cases where we're not really offering true loving kindness, but we're, you know, transgressing boundaries of someone else because of our attachment. Or with compassion. With this practice, we can get so caught up in somebody else's suffering that we get overwhelmed, burned out, and maybe we really lack the kind of perspective that we need to actually help in an effective way. And when we do the Brahma-Vihara practices, we hear about these kinds of situations, you know, the near enemies, where we're kind of close to the true feeling, but not quite in the right balance. So that's an area where we kind of identify boundaries. With the neutral person, we might see where we are, without even realizing it, kind of cutting that person out of our awareness and so establishing a boundary we don't even think about. With the difficult person, we learn a lot about how to set healthy boundaries, you know, extending loving kindness as much as we can, but not forcing ourselves into places where we really aren't ready to go yet that might be just too upsetting and too overwhelming. And then, of course, equanimity, developing the equanimity to just really be with the way things are, with the extent to which we're able to open up, with the way maybe the other people are and what they can and can't offer us. So we'll have a whole talk in the coming weeks just about Brahma-Vihara practices and working with boundaries. But this little introduction can begin to get you thinking about metta practice and other Brahma-Vihara practices and how these might help you with this topic of boundaries, relate to the topic of boundaries, and maybe help you sort of see the places where you're out of balance and also to expand your boundaries, the boundaries of your heart. So just to summarize, you know, on the one hand, the teachings encourage us to question and appreciate the interconnectedness of all beings, but at the same time in daily life, we need to establish boundaries, not so much on our hearts, but on our activities and actions to keep us from harming others, to keep others from harming ourselves. And being mindful of feeling tone when we are wanting things that are not offered and not wanting what is offered can help us to recognize places where we might be likely to set boundaries that might not be helpful or might be helpful, where we might transgress and intrude on others. Using the precepts as a guide for boundaries on our own conduct and the conduct of others, and also using metta and other Brahma-Vihara practices to help us open our hearts. Boundaries are out of alignment. So these are all different subjects we'll be working with and reflecting on over the next month. And so there's, you know, really a lot to consider and think about in this topic of boundaries. So let's, as we end here with the talk part of our morning, let's just sit together for a few moments and kind of let ourselves settle, let our thoughts settle. We plant seeds in the ground and dreams in the sky, hoping that someday the roots of one will meet the outstretched limbs of the other. So now we will have some time for a little group discussion on this subject of boundaries, maybe, 15 minutes or so in small groups. And I'd like you just to consider, first, what comes up for you when you consider this topic of boundaries. And you might also think a little bit about where your challenges are, if you notice any places where there are challenges. Maybe it's difficulties in setting boundaries, maybe difficulties in saying no or other sorts of patterns of behavior that you might have from your upbringing, maybe establishing boundaries that are too rigid and restrictive. So just, thinking about your general feelings about this topic and maybe where you're noticing areas of challenge for yourself. And you might also consider, if you have time, any practices that maybe sparked a little excitement or interest in you in thinking about this subject of boundaries. So I'll divide you into your groups. Okay, everybody is here. So now we have a little bit of time for any comments or questions that you might have, or sharing anything that came up in your groups that you would like to share. So if you would like to put up your little reaction hand, that would be great, and I will acknowledge you. You can unmute yourself and speak. And if I don't see somebody, let me know. So the floor is open to anyone who would like to share. Oh, Amy. You can unmute yourself. Hi.
So I'll just say that in our conversation, someone mentioned sort of issues or difficulties around boundaries with the pandemic, which I think is really true. And it's that, for me, made me think about even more some of the challenges that I see around social media with boundaries and people trying to have a sense of connection and relationship, but like there's this clear separation, and it just feels like it's very off kilter. And part of why it's so hard for our society right now, I think, is because so much is happening through social media, and I think people are getting a little worn down from that. Mm-hmm. It's an observation.
Yeah, thank you, Amy, for bringing that up. I think that's really, really true. And that platform of social media, because we're not actually talking directly to people and stuff, I think there's a sense that we don't feel the boundaries we ought to feel in terms of our interactions. There's this sense of you can say anything and the consequences don't ever touch you, So it is an area that I think maybe, hopefully we'll talk about it some more this month, but it's kind of a game changer. And then the whole thing with the pandemic, our boundaries in terms of interaction have shrunk so much that adjusting to opening our boundaries in terms of interaction with others may be uncomfortable too. So, yeah, this is a really good topic, and hopefully it will come up some more in our discussions there's a lot to work with. I mean, just in ordinary circumstances, but with the pandemic, even more. So thank you. I thought, oh, Suze, I see your hand.
In my group, somebody brought up other people's boundaries that aren't necessarily obvious to us, and then we make decisions about their behavior or whatever their responses to us, never knowing what. I mean, you kind of alluded to it, Linda, when you said, you know, you want maybe people to be more affectionate, but they're really shy and withdrawn. I mean, some of it's obvious, but a lot of times other people's boundaries aren't. And I think it would be interesting to figure out how to talk about that with people, you know, so that we're not just assuming, oh, you're this because here's what your behavior was like. Anyway, I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, there really is so much that, and I think also, like, especially people we may not know as well, we really don't always know what is comfortable for them and what isn't, and I don't think we usually tell each other. We kind of keep it to ourselves, so... Yeah, I think that would be a very good exploration of having a sense of how to sensitively explore that with people so we don't intrude unknowingly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it seems like lots of good subjects for the future are coming up. Maybe one more, if there's one more, and then I'll turn it over to Lauren for our closing. I think that is it. So, Lauren, I will let you have the floor to end our meeting for today. Thanks, everybody, so much for participating and for your great ideas of where we can go further with this subject in the coming weeks. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Lyndall, for your clear synthesis of all the aspects of boundaries that we can explore, and a lot of them we will be exploring in the next weeks. So I would just like to say, if you would like to offer Donna, you can do that on the website. And we really appreciate it, and thank you for the Donna you have already offered. Generosity is such a wonderful practice for all of us. So let's just sit for a moment and in silence and appreciation. Gratitude for being here today with each other, for how we've been able to share and learn and grow in the Dharma, connect. And may the merit and benefit that comes from doing these practices be shared with all beings everywhere.